Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Tickle from Michigan. I hope everyone is well, and we're going to have a good show tonight.
Yes, indeed. You know, it's season six, episode five, Red Wave. What Red Wave? It's Sunday, November 12th, 2023, and Republicans celebrate poll numbers. Democrats celebrate actual election victories. The owner, Red Wave, was ketchup stains on Mar-a-Lago walls caused by the man child, Donald Trump, throwing a fit because all candidates he endorsed lost big. Why does GOP stay with evil narcissist Trump? Is it Stockholm Syndrome? Political polls are worthless and is of no use, as voters as well as informed are well informed by multiple sources of information out there. Others would rather get their information from one source. Who's always wrong? Right, Fox News? And guests like their mostly illiterate base. Are polls still necessary today? A week is a lifetime in politics. A lot will change in 1 year. What are the major issues that worry you as an American out there that our media doesn't cover enough? Culture wars are stupid and a waste of time. What else does a GOP-led House majority do that is a waste of taxpayer money and time? Will the federal government shut down midnight on November 17th, or a compromise will be reached? Could universal basic income work in America, do you think? Is any criticism of Israel anti-Semitic? Thank you for joining us tonight as we speak on these topics and other hot-button issues of the day. Let's speak about anything you want to talk about as well. Call in. The number is 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. No need to be shy, as we love hearing from people with different political thoughts and beliefs. All are welcome here.
So thanks for sharing across all social media, and also visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have great blog articles, cooking recipes, and awesome merchandise that will be available to purchase soon. Often imitated but never duplicated, this is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Laurie. Okay, so first on agenda tonight, want to update people on the Israeli-Hamas war. And that reported that Gaza's largest hospital by the World Health Organization loses contact with it. So Benjamin Netanyahu said Al-Shafi Hospital in Gaza had refused his country's offer of fuel last night, and the hospital suspended operations because of a lack of fuel. So what do we know at this point is that the World Health Organization said it lost communications with the contacts at the embattled Al-Sharif Hospital in Gaza City, and the facility has come under fire, appeared surrounded by Israeli forces, and multiple babies and five people in intensive care have died at the hospital, according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Bibi Netanyahu said today on NBC News Meet the Press that Al-Sharif Hospital, or Al-Shifa Hospital, had refused to offer an offer of fuel from his country. So NBC News has not been able to verify with the hospital officials, but Netanyahu also said that there could be a deal to free hostages held by Hamas. And Arab and Islamic leaders met for a summit in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, yesterday, and they demanded that immediate ceasefire in Gaza, unconditional delivery of humanitarian aid, and international protection for Palestinians. And GOP presidential candidate Chris Christie today visited Israel, where he visited a kibbutz that was destroyed October 7th and met with Isaac Herzog and families of the hostages. More than 1.6 million people have been displaced in Gaza, and health officials there say more than 11,000 have been killed. Israel says 1,200 people were killed in the Hamas terrorist attack in October 7th, with 239 people still being held hostage in Gaza. And NBC News' Keir Simmons, Raf Sanchez, Erin McLaughlin, Josh Lodman, Matt Bradley, Hala Gorini, Jay Gray, and Chantal De Silva are reporting for the region from NBC News. So, you know, what's your take on this newest development in the Israel versus Hamas thing, where babies died and five people that needed whatever services died?
Yeah, that was they were in intensive care, and they had no power yesterday. I did hear that yesterday. It's horrible. I don't even know what to say about it. And I'm glad that, you know, at least he, I mean, if it's true, and if he offered fuel, why wouldn't they take it? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, especially if it's a hospital, you know. So, you know, it's really hard to know, you know, who is telling the truth, you know, what is propaganda, you know, who, you know, what the situation is, because, you know, these reporters, of course, cannot be right there. It's impossible. So hard to know what's what. And I don't know, you know, and I'm hoping that I did read in several articles that Bibi Netanyahu, I can't remember his name right. I did see that he is trying to, you know, come up with a deal, and he said there might be one coming soon. So we shall see what happens. It's a horrendous, it is impacting the whole world, honestly. You know, it's impacting our country with Palestinians and, you know, the Jewish people, and you know, then the crazies come out, and, you know, this has got to be solved. This problem has to be solved. It can't go on like this, but I don't know what's going to happen. Hard to say.
Yeah. And even though there are 4-hour ceasefire daily, according to Netanyahu, why not just stop the bombings? Because, you know, like I said, 1,200 people died when Hamas attacked Israel. That's all bad.
Yeah.
But does it justify Israel carpet bombing, living shithole in Gaza and killing thousands of people, you know? And probably most of those people have nothing to do with, you know, Hamas.
No. You know, Hamas is probably hidden. You know, they're probably under the tunnels. There's tunnels all under the city. They go all through the city. So that's where they're probably hidden, you know, and maybe the hostages are down there. Maybe they're not. I mean, there's no way of knowing if the hostages are still alive. I mean, they let go four people. And what was the reason for the four that they chose? It honestly made no sense. I mean, I'm happy that four people were able to, you know, get a, you know, be freed. But, you know, why didn't they let more go? I just make, it's just so illogical. Everything is, of course, these people are not logical either. So, you know, it, what they do makes no sense. The terrorists make no sense at all. And I don't know what they're going to.
Speaking of the releases of hostages, Biden's top Middle East advisor, his name is Brett McCurk, he will be traveling to Israel. That was, and he would focus on releasing, getting the hostages released. Because there's over 239 people being held by Hamas, and some of them have been killed, as we all know, and some, you know, been paraded in front of TV denouncing Israel. You know, so was it under duress, or do they feel, you know, justified in saying what they did on their own, you know, on their own feelings instead of like being duressed by Hamas? You know, we can never know really. So I'm going to play a clip. McGurk is on Meet the Press recently on Today with Kristen Welker, and this is what he had to say about releasing hostages.
So let me start with you and just set the stage, because you have some news that you just reported out moments ago, which is basically that the president's top advisor in the Middle East is heading to Israel. What do you know?
Well, that's right, Kristen. Brett McGurk, the president's top Middle East advisor, is scheduled to head to the Middle East this week. He'll go to Israel, and his mission is to focus on the release of hostages. He's also going to Qatar, which has been key in these negotiations over the release of hostages, and they're exploring multiple options, the administration is. And one of those options is securing the release of about 80 women and children who are being held hostage. And in exchange for that, the release of Palestinian women and teenagers that are being held by Israel. It's one option. There's no guarantee that any of this is going to succeed, but Brett McGurk is going to travel there to try to move this forward. And it all comes as the administration is trying to weigh its support with Israel and its growing concerns about how Israel is carrying out this war. In particular, there is concerns, officials tell me, that Israel is not doing enough to try to minimize civilian casualties. There are officials that don't believe that Israel cares, that the Israeli government cares, that public opinion is turning against them. And it all comes as conversations, I'm told, between Israeli officials and U.S. officials are getting increasingly testy. And at the same time, Kristen, we're told that there's no change in strategy, that the administration is going to stand with Israel. They're continuing to give the support that it needs, that President Biden feels like his approach has given him the influence that he needs to get things like pauses and humanitarian aid.
Thanks for watching. Yep. So there you have it, McGurk, going soon to Qatar and then Israel to negotiate the release of hostages and everything. And hopefully good sense prevail. And those 80-plus women and children are released. And they get swapped for Hamas, or Palestinian women and children as well. So, you know, do you think that, you know, the Red Cross can help in this?
You mean in getting...
Like, you know, you know, like, can they demand access to all these hostages to see if that they're okay and what have you? Because Red Cross is an organization that have influence, you know, in the region. And there are they don't have any sides in this thing, you know? So do you think Red Cross can play a role?
I think if it wasn't Hamas, possibly yes. But, you know, they're terrorists. And, I mean, look how they killed and maimed and raped and cut heads off, babies. And I don't see why they would. I mean, I think that would have already maybe happened. You know, it's been over a month, so I'm not sure. My guess is probably not. But they let those few trucks in the beginning, and that was it. You know, and I keep wondering, what are these people eating and drinking? I mean, how can they survive? You know, if they're not bombed, how can they can starve to death? I mean, I just don't understand the whole situation. It seems dire to me, you know. It's very, very, very sad.
Yes, yes. Okay, in the Ivy League schools in Harvard and places like that, the students are protesting Israel's harsh hand in dealing with Hamas, and they're saying that a lot of innocent people are being murdered in dogs, bombings, and it's genocide Israel is doing, basically. You know, I'm going to play a clip of Netanyahu, he's on the press, talking to Kristen Welker and everything. After we'll play this clip, we'll come back and talk a little bit more. You know, do you think Netanyahu is being fair, or do you think he's, you know, overly playing his hands?
In the South, say they do not feel safe. French President Emmanuel Macron has said there is, quote, no justification for the ongoing bombing of civilians all over the world. He's civilian deaths in Gaza. Can you win this war without global support?
We will win this war because we have no other choice. There's no life for us. There's no future for us and our neighbors if we allow the axis of terror led by Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, and their minions to dominate. We have an alliance for peace on the other side. It includes Israel, the United States, the moderate Arab states, and the rest of the civilized world. Now, it's a question, who wins? We have to win. There's confusion in many parts of the world. I have to say, not in the United States. I'm glad to see that the majority of the American people support Israel. They understand that we're fighting the just battle of civilization against barbarism. But those who protest for Hamas, you're protesting for sheer evil. There are a lot of misguided people out there who don't know the facts. You're talking to people who deliberately targeted civilians, who raped and murdered women, who beheaded men, who burnt babies alive, who kidnapped little babies and hostage and Holocaust survivors, you name it. These are the people that you are supporting. Now, you cannot, it's like in World War II, the Allies are fighting the Nazis, okay? Chancellor Kohl of Germany said that Hamas are the new Nazis. So imagine now, the Allies are fighting the Nazis. They've invaded France after they were attacked by the Nazis. They go into the cities of Germany. Obviously, the Nazis are fighting within civilian quarters, and civilians get killed. In fact, many of them were killed. Millions were killed. Now, who do you protest against? Do you protest against the Nazis, or do you protest against the Allies? And what these people are doing is protesting for sheer evil. That's wrong. And by the way.
Yeah, so they're not protesting for sheer evil. What people are protesting is for peace for Palestine and to you know, give them autonomy, because Israel, what Israel is doing is genocide, basically. You know, it's not right.
Let's say they do stop bombing completely. Let's say they stop bombing. What will happen to Hamas? Do you think Hamas will just say, okay, you guys stop bombing and we're going to go home and have a nice day? Yeah, I don't think that. See, I mean, I'm not, you know, I am not by any means, I hate the thought of the bombing. I hate the, you know, the fact that all these people have died and they're suffering and we have hostages and all of that. But I just don't see not being able to capture Hamas and stop them, how it's going to solve any problems in Gaza. That's what I wonder, you know. I don't think that it will.
Okay. Yeah, but the thing is, you can't capture Hamas because you don't know who they are. You know, it's like a terrorist organization. It's not an organized military. So, oh, okay, that guy's Hamas. Let's get him. You know?
Yeah.
So to like carpet bomb.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm having quiet.
So what you're saying is, and I understand what you're saying, they are terrorists, but what do you think will happen if Israel just stops bombing Gaza tomorrow? Okay, we're done bombing. What do you think Hamas will do? I mean, I'm curious. I'm curious to know
let's get United States and United Nations to the peace table with both Israel and Hamas, and try to work out a solution stopping these bombings and stopping Hamas from doing what they're doing, and negotiate so the captives or the prisoners get released.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Now, do you think that Hamas will come to the go to and negotiate? Do you think that they are the type of people that would negotiate a peace deal?
Well, the effort has to be made to get them to the peace table. If not, then Israel will just continue doing what they're doing because Hamas don't want to come to the table. So Israel will have a choice but to continue doing what they're doing, you know, and going into the Gaza. Can I finish the point?
Go ahead. I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I try to make a point and you keep cutting me off.
I know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Never mind. Okay, Congress on the brink of government shutdown. Let's move on to another topic. Government, the Congress on the brink of government shutdown and everything. But before we move on, let's take this caller from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hi. I want to agree with Laurie and disagree with you. You can't target just the terrorists because they hide amongst the civilians. Do you think when we, in World War II, when we were bombing Berlin, we should feel bad because little kids and women and stuff died? They did. But again, they allowed the Nazis to take over their country and run things for them. Where do you think Hamas is hiding? Who do you think voted them into power? So let's not act like all the Palestinians are innocent. Yeah, kids die. It's a fact that people should think about before they start a war. But once you do, you got to live with the results of that. Hamas attacked Israel. Israel has fighting back. They know Hamas is not sitting over in the little country of Hamas. They know they're hiding in the homes of the Palestinians who voted them into power. So they are responsible for what they're doing, and calling what Israel is doing as genocide, it would be the same as saying, you know, the Allied forces committed genocide on the German people. They fought back and protected.
But to break down, to stop this whole killing of innocent people and everything, they have boots on the ground. Why not go from home to home and try flush out Hamas from all these underground tunnels and everything, and just instead of just like bombing everywhere? That don't solve anything. You know, you're trying to like lessen the casualties of innocent people. So how is that fair to the innocent people?
That's about the size of Rhode Island, stuck in the middle, surrounded by North Africa on the west, east, the Middle East on the east, billions and billions of people there, and they've got a few million. They don't have a lot of choice but to come back and come back fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, children died. Children died when they bombed Israel. And as they talked about, they burnt babies alive. They cut off their heads. They raped and pillaged. This wasn't oops, we dropped a bomb in the wrong city. This was, we intended to wipe you off the fucking face of the earth that we've been intending to do for hundreds of years, and the Israelis have a right to defend themselves. You know, the Nazis didn't make a separate country and call it little Nazi land so that all the German people were safe when France and stuff got bombed by the Nazis. A lot of little kids died. A lot of people died. A lot of innocent people died. That's a fact of war. So maybe you shouldn't start wars if you're not prepared to take the rebound on it.
You know, the thing I was saying, what I was trying to get across was, you know, let's say they do come to, Israel says, okay, Monday I'm going to stop, we will stop bombing on Monday. Hamas, if you come to the table, fine, that is fine. We are willing to work out a peace agreement, you know, if the United States is there to mediate, however. And who knows if, now Hamas are terrorists. They, you know, they have, I think their scheme or their whole plan is to wipe out Israel. So how do you take them at the word? And I'm not really sure, and I like I said, the thought of anyone dying in war is horrific. You know, my mom, when she talked about, you know, the Germans taking over in Italy and what they did to people, you know, that left such a
It wasn't in my mind that it wasn't all the Germans.
I see what she was talking. So the thing is that yes, we all want peace, but the Palestinians.
No, Hamas started this.
No, I'm saying about us in our country. We want peace. Yeah, we want peace. We want to try to you know help them to have you know be peaceful again. But I don't know. I mean, Hamas are terrorists. They're not like having, you know, maybe let's say Russians go over there. I mean, you just can't. How do you negotiate with terrorists? I mean,
the Nazis were not all of the Germans, just like Hamas is not all of the Palestinians. We didn't have the word terrorists in 1940. They allowed an element who is very unpleasant people to take political control of their country and behave the way they did, which was a terrorist behavior. We didn't call it that because nobody made up the word yet. But we bombed Berlin. We didn't say, okay, all you innocent, nice, sweet Germans, go have a beer bong party somewhere else while we wipe out the Nazis. You can't tell by looking who's who. Just like you can't look at someone in the Middle East and say, oh, he's Hamas. This guy's just a sweetheart carpenter or whatever. You can't tell by looking.
Same reason we took the
Japanese people in our country and put them in a prison camp and stole everything they owned, and the guys are being safe. That's a little bit of an overreaction. We didn't put the Germans in any prison camps, did we? Because that would have been my dad and his whole family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't pick out and say, oh, well, because they're terrorists, everyone around them who voted them in and hides them and supports them is innocent. Yeah, everybody's got kids, and when there's a war, horrible, horrible stuff happens. But they chose to start a war.
They did.
Israel didn't.
You know, I kind of think I kind of feel like, you know, there's always, you know, the how do I put this? You always have to feel sorry for something and, you know, or someone, some group, you know, because they feel like they're being overpowered and there's, you know, the Palestinians are, you know, being killed by the thousands. And it is wrong. But they gave them time to leave, which I know all of them couldn't get out. A lot of them probably didn't want to.
But their neighboring Muslim countries wouldn't take them either.
Exactly.
So they're as much to blame as them being stuck where they are as their own unwillingness to recognize that things have changed and we got to move on. You know, once we stuck all the Native Americans on reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Were they, everybody's been doing this to everybody since time began, except for some reason, the Jewish people, I don't know if it's because they thought they were chosen and people thought that was arrogant. I don't know. But they should be able to live somewhere in the world. They've been run out of every country they've been in, whether it was in the far in the Eastern Europe, if it was in Africa and Egypt and Palestine. Everywhere, and we've had country after country after country whose people have vowed to wipe them off the face of the earth. If people were vowing that about Americans, wouldn't we fight back?
Yes. Yes.
And we'd have a right to. And I'm so tired of hearing people say that they're committing genocide. Well, what the hell did we do to the Native Americans? We killed 10 million of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't yet to say, I'm sorry, or give them back a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except now they have licenses to run casinos, you know?
Yeah, you know, but, you know, we don't want World War III, so they are trying to get...
Israel to give up their power to prevent us from being in danger.
Yeah.
Which endangers the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And yet we claim to support them. I'm just getting real angry with this whole thing.
Yeah. It's,
you know?
It's pretty sad.
People who have no clue. And, you know, I get people on Facebook all the time. Well, Israel's been theirs for centuries. No, it hasn't. Israel wasn't in a separate country until 1948, and that was after all the countries in Europe refused to take any of the Jewish refugees. When our country turned away boat after boat after boat and sent them back out to sea with no food, no protection, we were horrific to them. And then we took the nice Nazis that we thought were smart and brought them in and hid them as Americans or Argentinians or whatever. We didn't beat the Nazis. We just took the ones we wanted. We're hypocritical as the rest of the world, and we act like we're the kings of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, we all know that. Like the colleges here in this country, I think that the administrators have a duty to explain or just to tell them to stop because, you know,
well, then we have this thing about your freedom of speech, and we can't tell them to stop.
Yeah, no, but I understand that.
But
I understand.
There's
got to be ways that, you know, a way that they can say, you know, when you're in class, you know, when we're in school, you know, on the weekend. I don't know, but there has to be something because I feel like it's getting out of control. And,
I think it's getting out of control because I took world history in both high school and in college. And you know what world history was about? France, Spain.
No, I know. Yep.
England. You would not have known there was anything other than Eastern Europe in the whole world. It didn't mention China, not a thing in the African continent, not a thing in the South American continent. Nothing happened in Australia except it was a prison camp for England. They don't tell the truth in school. So you got a whole generations of people growing up thinking things are one way when they were the complete opposite. Well, we're busy patting ourselves on the back. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there because we need to stop making Israel responsible for the hatred of other people. They're the subject of it. They're not responsible for that. It's like black people aren't responsible for racists.
Mm-hmm.
They just aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, in the Middle East recently, countries met and they're asking for the demand to release of hostages and everything, or ceasefire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, they didn't demand the release of hostages? You know, because that would be a start, you know, where, you know, both sides talk and everything. And try to have a solution because when the bomb Gaza like that, what are the people coming back to? Nothing, rubble. So is Israel's plan after bombing all of this, after bombing all, you know, Israel, bombing Gaza and flattening it, you know, they're planning to rebuild it and put their people in it and leave the Gazans out and in the wilderness. You know, what's the plan?
Your guess is as good as mine what the plan is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your guess is as good as mine. It's just like when in Flint, Michigan here, you know, when they have the water problem. And what's happening is they're squeezing out the people that live in the center of Flint because all these rich companies are coming in and they're building, you know, new schools, they're building putting in gas stations and they're just building up around the city of Flint. And what they're doing, they're squeezing the people out, what mm-hmm. they do, you know, and
gentrification.
It's wrong. Yes, and it's
mm-hmm.
wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have homes
yes.
that are worth nothing, and they have, where are they going to go? They can't get anything for their home, so they're stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get people to repair their homes because they don't want to go there. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's horrible. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that'll be the same problem there. It's going to be a powdered
mm-hmm.
mess. It's going to be rubble. These people
mm-hmm.
have no place to go back to. No, absolutely do
mm-hmm.
not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what
mm-hmm.
the answer is. I truly do not know.
515-605-9802 is the number to call and everything. We'd love to hear from everybody whether Israel is wrong for doing what they're doing, or, you know, should they continue bombing and try
mm-hmm.
to eliminate Hamas once and for all. So Congress is on the brink of a government shutdown. This Friday coming up,
mm-hmm.
I think, is the deadline at midnight. Do you think that, you know, a compromise will be reached to keep the government open?
I don't know. You know, this speaker, there is something not right.
Mm-hmm. After all,
really,
he sprang a white nationalist Christian flag outside of his office.
Yeah,
How is that proper? How is that right?
Well, and why is he allowed to do that? Why is he allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
He's in a government building. The Constitution
mm-hmm.
is separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he allowed to fly that flag in his, you know, outside of his office? I looked the flag up. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he?
Yeah, so Mike Johnson has three flags hanging outside his office: the American flag, the Louisiana state flag, and a flag representing a movement that wants to turn the United
mm-hmm.
States into a religious Christian nation. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so that's not normal. Like you said, there's a separation of church and state. And the display of a flag says
mm-hmm.
appeal to heaven. That's what's marked on the flag and everything. So this is not
exactly
normal behavior. And, you know, the flag is white with a green evergreen tree in the middle and the phrase, an appeal to heaven, at the top.
Yes.
So
yes.
A published report by Rolling Stones this past Friday confirmed that the flag is outside the district office in Washington of the new speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the flag was originally used as a banner during the Revolutionary War, but over the past decade, it has been embraced by a sect of Christianity called the New Apostolic Reformation, or NAR. A central tenet of NAR's belief system is that it is God's will for Christians to take control of all aspects of U.S. society, including education, arts and entertainment, the media and business. So
mm-hmm.
they want to create a religious nation. They want to have a theocracy, basically.
Yeah.
We'll see how well that works in Iran and Afghanistan, you know, and to a certain point and extent, Pakistan. Anytime religion
mm-hmm.
comes into politics, it just bitch up everything, because those two things should never mix.
And not only that, in this country, there are so many different religions, and there are so many people
mm-hmm.
that are atheists as well. And so if they
mm-hmm.
think that they're
mm-hmm.
just Christianity down people's throats, they've got something else coming. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People want to believe in what they want to believe in. They want to worship
mm-hmm.
who they want to worship. And if it's a sheep
or
a cow. Or
they'll worship as atheists. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so this new apostolic reformation, NAR, that embraced Donald Trump when he announced he was running for office and endorsed him early on in 2015, and endeared him to the Christian movement, the religious right. So the appeal to heaven flag became more popular among Trump supporters. And these people have no business calling themselves Christians, because it seems like they enjoy seeing other people who are not like them suffer, you know? And Trump and Republicans in the House especially, you know, they love calling themselves Christians, but yet still, you know, the more and more people suffer, the more and more they celebrate. And, you know, they want America to be a majority white country and what have you. And it's not going to happen because, as the labor statistics said, by 2045, we become a minority-majority nation. And, you know, this is like the last fight of the right-wing religious zealots to hold on to what, you know, power they have left. They can't accept the fact that, you know, America's built up of immigrants, basically, from all over the world, from all different religious types, from all different shades of ethnicities, you know? Mm-hmm. And the white nationalism that they preach is not Christian. It's sickening, actually. And I'm afraid that, you know, we may go to war because of it. But go ahead.
And these are the same people, do not forget, that do not want free lunches and, you know, free breakfast or free lunches for children that they can't afford, you know, that are poor. Or it doesn't matter. Just what's wrong with giving a free breakfast and a free lunch to kids in school, to students in school? What is wrong with that? They're against that. They're against anything. Well, they don't care about humans. They only care about their religious BS. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's all it is. I mean, they have proved over and over. You know, they would get rid of Medicaid and find a way to get rid of Medicaid. They would do it overnight. They would do it. And, you know, that's how heartless these people are. But then they try to tell you that, you know, Christianity is the way to go. No, you can be a Christian, but you don't have to talk about it. You can just be a good person and have a good heart. But these people do not. So they're not Christians. Only
515-605-9802 is the number to call in. Hello, what's cooking tonight, Elaine?
Hello.
Hi, Elaine.
Oh, hey,
hello.
Hi. I just got aboard, so I'm going to be listening for a while.
Okay.
Yes, man. So what do you thought about the red wave last week when the Republicans, you know, claimed that they have a red wave and nothing happened? Okay, there's blankness.
Oh.
Everybody,
hear
everybody
you.
Here? Oh, okay.
Elaine, are you here still?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, yes. Okay, I'm saying, what do you think about the red wave that didn't happen?
Oh, I still don't believe the polls. I absolutely do not believe the polls.
No.
One of the stations admitted it was the way they were asking the questions. One of the questions they were asking was, do you like what's going on? And people answered no. So they took it for granted that they didn't like what Joe Biden was doing. It was the way they phrased the question.
So
absolutely do not believe the polls.
No, I agree with you. And what do you think?
I think the people have had enough, and they're and the Trumpies are going to be Trumpies, or we're not going to convince them of anything different.
No.
There are some of them that have already changed their mind and seen the light, but there are some that just, they're not going to change.
This is a quote from Mike Johnson. He said, every woman has a duty to birth at least one able-bodied worker.
Well, I mean, you know, between taking their talking points from Hitler and Mussolini, I think they're also taking their talking points from the movie Silent Green.
I mean, who does this man, what does he mean by that? Every woman has a duty to birth at least one able-bodied worker. What the hell is he talking about? So he wants women to have children and send them off to work? Is that what he's saying? For what? Child slave wages? For what? I mean, what is wrong with this man? Did they know what they were getting into when they picked this speaker? This man is nuts.
No, this man is treating women like cattle. He wants us to breed. And I'll be damned.
Yeah. This man is crazy. There is no doubt about it. I don't even know what to say.
You know, I interpret this, what Johnson said, like that's what the Nazis did, you know, where a woman, it's their national duty to the Nazis to keep producing babies. So, you know, it's basically a cannon fodder. So when war happened, then they can go on the front lines and defend the motherland, Germany. And, you know, that's how I interpret it as. And I want good, obedient workers, you know, so
yeah.
Keep mass producing babies, you know, keep having... you know, and the defective ones, hey, you know, we don't really care about. It's just like a plain old Nazi move, you know? That's how I interpret it, guys, really.
Yeah, well, you're probably right. That's probably part of it, you know? That's probably
mm-hmm.
part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, you have to,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I mean, to make a statement like that, you have to be pretty damn
mm-hmm.
bold. That is sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you know the phrase, still water runs deep? We don't know
mm-hmm.
anything really about this man. And he has no money record.
Mm-hmm.
What is he hiding?
He doesn't have
a paper trail.
No.
All he is doing is using cash and carry.
Yeah,
so where is he receiving dark money? From where?
Well, it's
yeah.
funny because he's collecting. I mean, he's been in you know in Congress for how many years now? So he's been collecting money from that. I mean, he gets a paycheck, right? His wife has two jobs. She gets a paycheck. She's got some counseling center and whatever else she does, I don't know. She's got another job on top of it. So between the two of them, they're bringing in a few dollars, okay? Probably, you know, what I'm saying. So most people either get direct deposit into their account or they get a paper check. That's how it works. You get a paper check or direct deposit. So how does he get paid? If he doesn't have a checking account, and if he has a check, if he doesn't have a bank to deposit it or cash it, how did you pay your bills? There is something very wrong with this man. I don't care what anybody says. He gives me the creep.
Yeah. Yeah, he's shady as hell. You know, typical Republican, shady. You're not hiding behind Christianity, the veil of Christianity. You know, it's really creepy and really weird that people in Louisiana elect this man to be a member of Congress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond...
And for him to be second in line to the president.
Yes. How can you... Come on, in this day and age, people, you know, you can deposit your damn check through your phone, you know, into your
mm-hmm.
bank. Don't... Does not have a bank account. Does he Venmo his money? What did she do? Seriously, Apple Cash?
Probably,
what is it?
Probably put them on his mattress. Who knows? You know.
Yep, he has the cash to do. Where's the cash? Is that the local
mm-hmm.
bar? Trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that
yes,
nowadays maybe. That you have to have some sort of a bank account to have your money deposited, but. I don't know. Something's not right with this man. Well, he is completely hiding everything in his life, his and his
mm-hmm.
wife's life. And
mm-hmm.
I'd still like
mm-hmm.
to know about this porn business, scrubbing
what?
One another's computer or porn.
Oh,
I mean, that's
right.
That
thing
bizarre.
Where he and his son monitor each other's porn intake. You know,
yeah.
That's where a person of him, you know.
It is
what
even
would
that. His son is 17 years old, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. What would Jesus do? What kind of porn would Jesus watch, for example? Girl and girl, man and man, I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, he has revealed his Republican plan to avert a government shutdown. Do you have that there, David?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stopgap spending bill, which omits funding for Israel or Ukraine, faces opposition from both parties in Congress. U.S.
Mm-hmm.
House Speaker Mike Johnson unveiled a Republican stopgap spending measure late Saturday aimed at averting a government shutdown in a week. But the measure quickly ran into opposition from lawmakers from both sides in Congress. Unlike ordinary continuing resolutions that fund federal agencies for a specific period, the measure announced by Johnson would fund some parts of the government until the 19th of January and others until the 2nd of February. Make it more complicated than it already is. House Republicans hope to pass the measure Tuesday. Continuing resolution is a necessary bill, and we know it's for the House Republicans to put them in the best position, to fight for their conservative victories, whatever their conservative victories are, Johnson said in a statement after announcing the plan for the House Republicans in a conference call. The House Republican stopgap contained no supplemental funding, such as aid for Israel or Ukraine. Now, wasn't that what President Biden wanted in the beginning? He wanted funding for Israel, Ukraine, and for the Taiwan border. Am I right? Now they've taken out Israel and Ukraine. Why? We have two wars going on. Why?
Because Republicans, one of the things Republicans want is not putting money towards Israel defense or Ukraine defense, because they want more money to be put on the border with Mexico. And, they want, comprehensive. Lost my train of thought. I'm not feeling well tonight. I'm sorry. I'm not my usual bubbly self or energetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
maybe what we should be looking at is where do these Republicans have their investments? Are their investments in war machine? I can't think of a term. Are their investments, they're funded by the gun industry, and guns are part of war. So what other investments do they have? In other words, war would benefit them.
It would, but for some reason, they want
to... That's what I'm talking about. War would benefit them. They want these two wars to escalate.
I don't know what they want, but that's possible.
Why else are they doing what they're doing? There is no logical reason.
No. There's no logical reason for anything that they have been doing these past few years. None whatsoever. There's nothing logical. Absolutely nothing.
I mean, between Kim Jong-un and the terrorists, which is the only one I can think of right now is Hamas, as far as naming name, and Putin, I think we ought to start looking at maybe Saudi Arabia. Because look what they're doing to the price of gas to get people roiled up across the world. Not just us countries, because they're howling in Canada about the gas prices. Canada's got their problems just like we do.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah, it just, I don't know why they want to put, you know, monkey wrenches into everything. Why can't they just go with flow?
It has to
because
be for power.
The Democrats,
to be for power.
They want Democrats to fail. They want Biden to fail. And it's their way or the highway. That's how it's always been since George Bush days.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you see what they did to Bush Sr. where he said no new taxes. What did he do? Raise
mm-hmm.
taxes on the middle class. And,
yeah.
you know, from ever since then till now, it's just they keep going rightward and rightward, not their fringe right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said no to all these things that Biden and Democrats put forward, what's their plan? They don't say. They don't have it in writing where they say, okay, if we get elected and we have the power in both the Senate and the House, this is what we plan to do. There's nothing like that. The only thing we're hearing is, oh, we're going to cut taxes for the wealthy and corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when that happened, would the corporations, you know, add more jobs to the economy so the economy could, like, get a boost from that? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know what's the plan after lowering taxes for the rich people who don't need it? Because in the first place, rich people and corporations don't pay taxes. You
no.
know, so that's a nothing burger right there for them.
The ironic part of the whole thing is that if they raise the taxes on these corporations or have them pay taxes on these corporations and on these multi billionaires, then maybe we could have we would have no deficit, and maybe we wouldn't have to worry about the budget all the time,
mm-hmm.
and you know to
mm-hmm.
balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to do that either. So they want
mm-hmm.
the American people to suffer. They want to shove Christianity down people's throats
mm-hmm.
and rule with an iron fist. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
it. That's their plan. There is no other plan.
And also,
Speaker
Johnson and Republicans would extend funding for military construction. They'd cut benefits for veterans, slash transport, slash housing and urban development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like totally gut the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah.
And, you know, energy and water. They don't believe in climate change and protecting water or the air we breathe. So that's more benefit to the corporation. That's what their plan is, basically.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So they don't have to worry about, you know, the air we breathe in 5 years. If there is any air left to breathe, who cares? They don't care. Do they all have plans to leave the planet? Or to leave this, you know, leave planet Earth? Is that what their plan is? They have maybe somewhere else to go because they're going to be stuck here like us unless they all die first. I mean, really. I mean, mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on to say, let me see. This is Chip Roy. Of course, he is the member of the hardline House Freedom Caucus, and he said this on the Platform X. My opposition to the clean continuing resolution just announced by Speaker cannot be overstated. He said the Republican Roy had called for new measures, including more spending cuts. Doesn't say what they are, you know. I mean,
Basically, the war cut the government, got the government. Because remember, we had that three-part series about Project 2025. And went through all that, 72 points, about how they want to cut, you know, different things. They want to get rid of the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of State, the Department of Defense. They want to politicize the Department of Justice. You know, cutting money to all these places, you know. And put more money
you
in defense.
You can't control people if you take away the tools for them to get ahead. So
mm-hmm.
what they've done is they have made a deficit so large that their way, they're going to try to convince the majority that the only way to rectify it is to cut all of the things that benefit everybody. You can't enslave people if you've got a place to complain.
Mm-hmm.
You can't enslave people if you have an agency that will step in and help people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't enslave people if you have that. First, they want to take away the IRS. Why? Because the IRS won't be able to go after the super tax cheaters, the wealthy 1%. They want to take away the EPA. Well, if you have rotten food and food that isn't good for you, who are you going to complain to? Nobody. You are enslaved. They want to enslave us all.
Yes. Yes, they do.
I can't see any other plan but that. And the more that they keep preaching what they want to do, the more the movie Soylent Green just haunts me. Just haunts me. In that movie there was one class of people that were able to eat and breathe. And that was it was less than 1%. If you remember the movie, they had little domes where their children could play in a park with trees and flowers. And what were the people? We were the cattle in that movie. And that goes back to what Johnson said. He wants women to produce a strong, healthy one, at least one baby for him. We're not cattle. None of us.
I would love to have a conversation with that man.
No, I would rather not have a conversation with that man. I'd rather that man get replaced by somebody else. We got to get him out of there.
I know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But who? Because all of them are crazy, basically.
Yeah.
When you compare Johnson to, what's his name? Matt Gaetz, or, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is stupid and dangerous. You know, Boebert, who's just stupid. She's not dangerous, but just stupid. I mean, Chip Roy, who's an extremist. You know, is that it get worse and worse and worse. There's nobody better, for lack of a better term, than Johnson at the moment. You know, so. Okay, so.
We wouldn't have that problem quite as bad if our house had at least 50-50. And I blame it on one of the politicians that ran in Michigan.
Yeah, who is that politician?
Pardon?
No, I say you blame it on a politician that helped run it. Who's that politician from Michigan?
John James won. I'm not going to go into
it
right now. John James won. And we all know who sat on their ass and didn't do anything so that they could win.
I have interesting news here. It was breaking news today that what's his name? The prosecutor, Jack Smith, he has evidence, strong evidence, that Marjorie Taylor Greene is somehow connected to the pipe bombs that were found on Capitol Hill by insurrectionists trying to, scare people on Capitol Hill, Congress people and senators and everything. And he says it's going to come out during the trial of Donald Trump, the insurrectionist trial. I mean, that's the only thing I know so far. He didn't elaborate, and the news media didn't pick up on it, of course, So if that is the case, indeed the case, what do you think would be a suitable punishment for Marjorie Taylor Greene, being part of this insurrection movement, and pipe bombs being placed on Capitol Hill?
Prison.
Just prison? Yeah, but expound.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Fired.
Mm-hmm.
in prison where she belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned it because a couple months ago there was something on one of the news stations, and I can't remember which one at the moment, but they were talking about that exact thing. And they have a video, and the person was wearing tennis shoes, jeans, a hoodie. I think it was like a gray hoodie. And they filmed this person going all around Capitol Hill. And at that time, they said they thought it was her. But that's where it died right there, you know. And this is the first I've heard about it again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's true. I wouldn't put it past her. She has got the guts to do something like that. We have seen, heard the things that she's already done, had the nerve to do. I think she would have the nerve to do that. I really do. In the name of Orange Man. I really do. I wouldn't put it past her. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so Donald Trump's back in New York. It was said to be turning real personal. The civil trial over his business. Over his business brand and international fame seem to be have struck a nerve. Trump, the front runner for GOP's presidential nomination next year, is facing charges in Washington, D.C. for his attempts to remain in power after losing the 2020 election. So in Georgia, for attempting to overturn the state's 2010 election results. In New York, for an alleged hush money scheme to keep the affair quiet. And in Florida, for his retention and handling of classified materials after leaving the White House. Last episode, I had Naj call from Georgia. And he was saying, making a point, that no president has ever been found guilty and put in jail. Maybe a house arrest, you know, will suffice because, you know, after all, he was a former president. But do you think if Donald Trump had a house arrest, that would teach him a lesson? Or do you think?
The only thing that might keep is to put in confinement in prison, 24-hour a day. That's it. That's the only thing. And then he can talk to himself.
They're not putting in the general population because he was dead within days.
Oh, well. As you can tell, I have no sympathy left anymore. No. I mean, this man, enough is enough. You know, he has gotten away way more than anyone else would have gotten away with. All of us would already be sitting in prison awaiting trials, every single last one of us. And he has had chance after chance after chance. You know, they go back on the gag orders, they make them stronger, and then they go back on them again. You know, who do they think they're dealing with? A child. Treat him like a child. Put a tether on. Put some masking tape over his mouth. It's just,
I am totally cheesed off at the Republicans that used to be fair and honest with the American people, the ones who have decided not to run again, who are sitting home with their thumbs up their ass and not saying a word. If they really and truly believed in the old-time Republican Party, where both parties used to get together and work, they would be opening up their mouths. They're just as guilty as the SOBs that are in office now.
It's terrible.
And I'm going to put Romney in there. Romney, you're nothing but a big chicken shit. I am not going to run again because I don't like what I see, what's going on. Well, why don't you open up your mouth and tell us what's going on? But you kissed the ring so that your niece could be head of the Republican Party.
Yep.
What, you think we don't remember things out here?
Yep, we do.
Right.
You know, that part is that we do know things and we do remember things. But they seem to think that the public is stupid, the problem. They seem to think that the public...
Memories.
Yes, that's what they think. Oh, tomorrow they won't even remember because, you know, there's 10 more things coming up tomorrow. You know, and shame on these. They write books afterwards so they can make money. You know, that's what they do. You know, they write books. Big deal.
515-605-9802 is the number to call. We'll have Madeline calling from Michigan. Hello, Madeline. What's cooking tonight?
Hello?
Madeline, you're on air. Hello.
Maybe.
Yes, Madeline. What's cooking tonight? What's your thoughts on, you know, this whole trial of Donald Trump and, you know, what's happening politically in America? Madeline, okay, I guess Madeline not there for some reason.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so next thing on the agenda tonight. So the next thing is Rhode Island elected its first black congressman. Congratulations to him. And this person, where is it? Bloody hell, I had it here a minute ago. His name is Gabe Amo. He's a Democrat from Rhode Island, and he just got elected to Congress for the at-large district. Congratulations to him. Rhode Island has always been blue, you know, so that's a good thing for Rhode Island. It's worth three electoral college votes, and, you know, we'll look forward to seeing good things from this new congressman and everything.
Absolutely. I heard an interview with him, and he is amazing. Very well spoken. He's very smart. I was very, really impressed. I think good things are going to happen with him. I really do. Really
yes,
do.
Indeed,
it's a good thing.
I hear a radio.
Yeah, I never hear about
him.
He news. Tim Scott has dropped out of the presidential race.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good.
The South Carolina senator has been stagnating in the polls for months, despite spending big on early TV ads. Tim Scott of South Carolina announced Sunday night he's dropping out of the 2024 presidential campaign. When I go back to Iowa, I will not be presidential candidate. I'm suspending my campaign, Scott said in the appearance on the former, was on Fox. I think the voters who are the most remarkable people on the planet have been really clear that they're telling me not now, Scott continued. The announcement was a surprise. Gowdy appeared to do a double take as Scott made a statement on the program, and multiple Scott staffers told NBC they only found out about his campaign ending by watching the candidate on TV. So see you later, Tim Scott. Knew you weren't going anywhere anyway.
Yes. And I have that clip of him announcing that he's dropping out of the race. ABC 7 has had the report, made a report about 20 minutes ago. And this is it right here.
Now to breaking news, another Republican presidential candidate is dropping out of the race. Senator Tim Scott announcing tonight he is suspending his campaign. Scott launched his candidacy last year and campaigned on a largely positive and optimistic message. The announcement comes just days after he took part in the third GOP primary debate. Former President Donald Trump still leading the polls by a large margin, while Scott polled just 2% among Republican voters. Voting in Iowa's leadoff caucuses starts in about 2 months.
2%. That's so horrible. 2%. Tim Scott is a black man in the Republican Party. What do we expect, really? 2%.
You know, this is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and Nikki Haley have no business in a race because Republicans don't respect people like them.
Mm-mm. And not only that, David, his policies were horrific. You know, he was anti-abortion with no exceptions. Really? You know, come on. I'm glad he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Here's some information I just sent you on Gabe Ammo. He is the first black man to be elected. You should have it right
the
now.
The congressman, what I am. Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's the info on him.
Yes, man. So Democrat Gabe Ammo defeated Republican Jerry Leonard to win Rhode Island's first congressional district seat Tuesday, becoming the state's first black candidate to be elected to Congress. Ammo, the son of Ghanaian and Liberian immigrants, who once worked as a White House aide, succeeded former Democratic Congressman David Cicilline, who stepped down this summer to become president and CEO of Rhode Island Foundation. Moments after the race was called, Ammo said he was grateful to be able to serve the district and state he loves. Quote, undoubtedly, I'm humbled by the real momentous opportunity to serve as a first person of color, he told Associated Press before walking out to address his supporters. But I don't run to make history, end quote. Ammo, he's 35 years old, said that he sees himself as part of a long line of advocates who came before him, whether they were people of color or those fighting for the rights of women or the working class. For Rhode Island, it's been interesting to have an immigrant story that everyone can relate to, he said. Ammo said one of his top priorities on arriving in Washington would be to help ensure that the federal government begins to function again. He said he will also work to fight gun violence and protect Social Security and Medicare. Quote, I'm going to be a voice for making sure we can restore confidence and trust despite the Republican Party that is rife with chaos, he said. So Ammo, who grew up in Pawtucket, emerged victorious from a crowded Democratic field in the September primary, claiming more than 32% of the vote. He served in the Obama and Biden administration, most recently as a deputy director of White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. He also served at one point in the administration of then-Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo. Ammo went to Wheaton College and studied public policy at Oxford University. That's in England. And he has said he was inspired by his parents' drive. His mother studied nursing, and his father opened a liquor store in part so he could be his own boss. Quote, just because my parents were born in two different West African countries, it doesn't mean it doesn't fit the narrative of how Rhode Island has been a haven for so many people from so many different places to thrive and build their families. And he has a point, you know, almost every state in the union have somebody from a different culture, a different custom, a different ethnic background, and even religious or non-religious background. This is what America is made up of, you know. So when Republicans go on about, oh, you know, you're not American, so you shouldn't be here, you don't belong here. You know, when you check out their last names, you know, were their ancestors from here? No, the original Americans were Native Americans, but they were schooled out of, you know, what was theirs. You know, they were killed off through slavery and through disease and through genocide. So when these right-wing nut jobs talk about, oh, you know, you don't belong here, none of us, unless you're Native American, belong here. So they need to keep quiet and learn from this young man who just won in Rhode Island. Cause I think he's going to make a big difference, you know, being the first.
Oh, I do too.
So he's going to say he's going to work to legalize abortion nationwide and support legislation to combat climate change. He said that he would also push to ban assault-style firearms, support research in gun violence prevention in the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and implement universal background checks. You know, so his win marks an ongoing transition away from the state's Italian-American political hierarchy, which was embodied by the late Vincent Buddy Sianese,
Providence charismatic longtime mayor who went to prison for corruption, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy defeated a Republican, this guy named Leonard, who was a U.S. Marine veteran who won the two candidate GOP primary. And surprisingly, Leonard was gracious in defeat. Quote, you don't go into any fight thinking you're going to lose. We approach this absolutely like this was an opportunity, Leonard said, of the election. My opponent ran a great campaign. I called him early tonight and wished him the best. I hope he makes a great congressman. See? So this guy here is a decent Republican.
Yeah.
Why can't other Republicans around the country want to lose? You know, be gracious like this. You know? Yeah.
It's a very good question. They've
mm-hmm.
forgotten what it's be gracious. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So now, let's go on to Jill Stein for a moment. Guess what
mm-hmm.
she did?
What?
She's run for president again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why? Why?
Well, to stay in the limelight, basically. Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, this article kind of irritates me, the opening of it. But it says President Biden, and this is The Hill, by the way, already facing dismal approval numbers and multiple liberals looking to replace him. Got more unwelcome news this week with the entry of Jill Stein into the 2024 presidential race. Stein, who announced Thursday that she would seek the Green Party nomination for the second
mm-hmm.
time, considered a fringe and intrusive figure to many Democrats who think she played the part of the spoiler to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's White House campaign against former President Trump. Her third-party candidacy is now one of a half dozen bids from the left center and independent spectrum that could damage Biden in the race, bringing attention to the president's limitations as the Republican primary field shrinks. And it came the same day Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat supposedly from West Virginia, announced he is not seeking re-election, raising speculations that he will seek the Oval Office as well next year. Stein's case mm-hmm. for her candidacy, as she tells it, is to offer a choice for the people outside of the failed two-party systems. An increasingly dominant theme in the election with two unpopular front runners that now less than a year away. Now, who says that President Biden is unpopular? Who says that? I mean, who is saying that besides The Hill or besides the media? I mean, that is what irritates me. I don't think that he's unpopular. I truly don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think
yeah, the
unpopular.
People who are saying that basically, the people who are saying that basically is the ones who are running polls, and usually they're right wing, you know, and they're trying to, like, you know, shape the narrative of this election going into 2024. That, oh, Joe Biden is too old and he's not up for the job. And, oh, you know, when President Xi from China came, he met with Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, because, you know, he sees Gavin Newsom as a future of America, you know, because nobody would be surprised if Gavin Newsom make a run in 2028. I'm expecting that fully. And President Xi didn't meet with President Biden, you know, so people, you know, that rose a lot of eyebrows saying, hey, you know, how come the president went to see a governor, but, you know, totally ignored the president of the United States? That's disrespect, one. And doesn't he have respect for the office? You know, where, you know, so, and it, you know, the political system is broken according to this woman. And the two Wall Street parties are bought and paid for. Over 60% of us now say the bipartisan establishment has failed us. And we need a party that serves the people. Yes, to a point, she's right, but there's clear differences between Democrats and Republicans. You know, very clear differences. And the history of the United States, because of how the system is set up with the Electoral College and everything, there's no way a Jill Stein could be president, because if a popular person like Theodore Roosevelt, who ran unsuccessfully for re-election to a second non-consecutive term, if he could only muster 19% of the popular votes and didn't get any electoral college votes, what makes her, who every 4 years or so always come back and say, hey, I'm running for president? You know, to me, she's just a media whore. I'm sorry. You know, what's her claim to fame before running for president? Okay, she's a green activist. Good, cool. You know, but she has a history with Putin, Vladimir Putin. You know, she needs to explain her ties to Vladimir Putin and the Russian Duma. You know, because as you remember, in 2015, 2016, she and other Republicans were invited by Putin to come to Russia. And, you know, she can't explain why she was there to begin with, you know? Was Russia paying her for something? You know, that's just, you know, shady, some shady things, you know? And the Green Party can't announce another presidential run. All well and good. But do you think she may have a solid impact against Joe Biden's siphoning votes away from him? Or because she's so not well known? I mean, she's fairly well known, but do you think that, you know,
I don't think that's it. I just, do you remember the Russia thing? She went to Russia.
She went to Russia. She was wined and dined by Putin. There was pictures. There was pictures to prove it. They were all over the internet. They'll probably start popping up again. My idea of the third party candidate, I would like to see a third party, but not until we get rid of the cancer to democracy, which is the Electoral College. We are sophisticated enough, we are sophisticated to the point that every vote should count. Every vote should towards the candidate that you cast your vote for. And until we get rid of the Electoral College, we won't, no third party will ever stand a chance. So I don't even know why they even played, well, yeah, I do know why they play that game. They play that game as a spoiler. They put in those spoilers so that they can get their dictator back in office.
And do you, if you remember, in 2016, there was talk that Russia influenced the election and weaponized fake social media accounts and social media to foment conspiracy theories. And people, you know, that they wanted people to vote for Stein over Hillary Clinton. And, you know, Jill Stein claimed that she wasn't aware of the interference operations and everything. And up to this day, Hillary Clinton has not forgiven her for running for president in 2016, because even though Jill Stein got 1% of the vote, it really hurt Hillary Clinton with independence. And following her latest campaign announcement, many social media users noted the images of Stein seen sitting at a table with Putin and Michael Flynn. Of course, we know Michael Flynn, the guy who was a double agent. He was a, he was the, what was he? He had some important role in the White House under Donald Trump. And he got fired and put in jail because he was working as a double agent for Russia. The National Security Advisor, that was who Michael Flynn was. So Jill Stein is running for president again as Green Party candidate. She's an attorney. And, you know, it's just shady what she's doing now, because she have no chance of winning, and she have a shady history with working with Russia and Michael Flynn. You know, nobody should take her seriously.
If we didn't have the Electoral College, we wouldn't have this mess, this conspiracy theory that Trump won. Remember the phone call that Trump made to Georgia? He wanted, what was it, 10,000? He gave an exact number, and it was like one or two over so that he could win the Electoral College votes. This is, you know, the Electoral College is what's breeding this crap. That and the fairness doctrine. We need both of those to, we need both of those to change. Now, you know, Joe Biden not only won the popular vote, but he won the Electoral College. But we don't need the damn Electoral College. We've got enough residents in the 50 states to have an election. That would be like having a school election, and we have an art department that is doesn't have as many students in it as the other departments, so we're going to give them more electoral votes. That's total stupidity. When you have an election, it's the total of the people that come out to vote.
Exactly. Well, in 2016, Hillary had 3 million more votes. 3 million. But why did she lose? The Electoral College, right?
Right.
2018.
The Electoral College is easier to manipulate. You are only manipulating a few states. It's very, very hard to manipulate all 50 states.
Now, in 2018, we had the Democrats in the House seats had plus 40 in the House. Dem House seats were plus 40. In 2020, when Joe Biden ran, he had 7 million more votes in 2020. In 2022, when the there was the other election, the House GOP seats, the Republicans only won 4 seats. Now, when in 2020, the last election that we had, we won three races. In 2023. So it seems to me that the Republicans are not really winning anything. They're not really winning elections. I mean, you can see by the vote. So you're right, Elaine. The Electoral College needs to go. But I don't hear anyone talking about it. It does need to go.
Because they have created so many fires. Which one do you put out first? They create the fires of the children going hungry. They've taken away women's rights. They are exacerbating bigotry and racism. I mean, you know, how can you fight for those two issues? I'm being a realist. How can you fight for those two issues when all we're doing is we're putting out fires?
Yeah, that's all we've been doing for years now. You know, absolutely right. But like I said, it's, you know, we would have had Hillary Clinton as the president, and we wouldn't be in this mess that we're in right now. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but that's the way I feel.
I agree. Over the weekend, I got to talking with a person that is very, very, very wealthy. He owns property all over the world. And the first thing that came up in our short conversation about politics was, and this is a person that can throw a lot of money at an election. It's too much money in politics. That was the first comment that came out of this person's mouth. There's too much money in politics. If I was an evil, as he put it, if I was an evil son of a bitch, I could control a lot of elections.
Yeah, absolutely. And they know that, too. They absolutely know that, you know. But I do
think that we're starting as the masses of people who want to take hold of our democracy, take it back. I think we're starting to talk and we're starting to think, but we better keep at it. We can't slack. There's no slacking.
No, the election that just happened proved that. It proved it. You know, people are sick and tired of listening to these people, especially the abortion, especially abortion rights. Women are ticked off about that. And don't mess with women when it comes to trying to take away their rights. You don't do that. As we know, we talk about it all the time. So then we have, David, you have this one in front of you, Rona McDaniel. She saw the light,
yes.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rona McDaniel, she is Mitt Romney's niece or something like that, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to get it up on everything. I guess it's short.
Yes,
I see Rona McDaniel says GOP must talk about abortion following election losses. Why? The American people spoke through the ballot box. Nobody care that you want to ban, or, well, they do care that you want to ban women's choice and everything. But the issue of abortion dealt a blow to Republicans last week elections, with resulting in several states showing the issues remain a liability for the party leading up into 2024. So now the definition of crazy is doing something over and over repeatedly, expecting a different result. And the Republican Party just cannot learn. They won't learn. They refuse to learn. Which is a good thing for Democrats and everything. But she was on Meet the Press today, and GOP needs to talk about the issue of abortion after its major losses in the last week's election. She keeps saying on the show, and it's going to be a liability for the party heading into 2024, more than a year after the Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade. Abortion rights continue to show up as a winning issue for Democrats, and voters in Ohio supported a state constitutional amendment to enshrine abortion rights by double digits, by a landslide, in fact. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear announced spoken support of abortion rights, who made the issue a key issue, our key message in this campaign in a deep red state won re-election. The Democrats in Virginia maintained a majority in the Senate and flipped the state house in a move that appears to be pushing back against GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin, who advocates for a 15-week abortion ban as part of his campaign platform. So, you know, it's like the beating a dead horse, basically. Repeatedly, the American people keep telling them, we want this because women fought for the right to, you know, choose what to do with their own body. And with you taking out Roe versus Wade and criminalizing doctors and punishing women, you know, for getting an abortion, it could be for any reason, suppose her health is in problems, and she would die if she brings this pregnancy to term. Suppose she was raped or incest by a family member. I mean, how the government have any say in any woman doing anything to her body? What's more big government than that? You know, it's crazy, these Republicans. And they want to, like, bring the Bible in it and over. That's sickness.
I'm going to fix the narrative on this, because the Republicans at the get-go were for abortions, not for abortions, for a woman's right to choose, which included anything that was for their health, until the wacko religious right came in. So quit saying that the abortion issue is a Republican issue. The abortion issue is a people issue. And in the people going to the polls, this is why the Republicans are shaking in their boots. The people going to the polls, both men and women, are former Republicans. This abortion issue, Republicans never said a word about it. They never said a word about women's health until the religious wackos entered the scene. This is not a Democratic issue. This is a people issue. And I'm just tired of the media, even our so-called good media, repeating the Republican narrative over and over. This is not a Democratic issue. It's a people issue. So why don't they look at their history? You know, I'm beginning to think that at one time I was told by Republicans that the media is lazy. They will do what you spoon-feed them. Well, then maybe we better start spoon-feeding them again.
Maybe.
And have them get the correct information out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Elaine.
Which journalist do you think is the closest to Walter Cronkite? Because Walter Cronkite, he took no sides, you know? Is there a modern media personality who
Rachel
we can compare
Maddow.
To Walter Cronkite?
Rachel Maddow. Larry, oh, geez. The former senator, Larry, I can't think of his name.
Oh, MSNBC.
Yeah.
MSNBC.
Larry what?
Oh,
and
Lawrence
Artie.
O'Donnell.
Yes, Lawrence O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawrence O'Donnell.
O'Donnell.
And and Artie, oh, good golly, he caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ari, you're talking about Ari.
Ari Melba.
Maury.
Yeah,
those are the
three that I say are pretty. They seem to be pretty much on the level. And I used to like Chris Cuomo. I don't know how he is on the news, the new channel. I haven't listened to him in a while.
Yeah, I've
never
heard
of him back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, McDaniel went on to say that the GOP needs to talk about it. We have to talk about it. And we can't hide in a corner and think abortion's not going to be an issue, she said. This is what Democrats are running on, because they can't run on crime, they can't run on the border, and they can't run on fentanyl. What kind of a stupid statement is that? Really?
Well, I could pop the drug issue with her in a heartbeat. If we would start, if the doctors were allowed to give their patients that need, and some of them need narcotics, they need a strong drug, you wouldn't have fentanyl out on the street.
Yeah.
It might rear its ugly head here and there, but it wouldn't be out there like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some patients that need a strong drug. Because, well, a lot of them are in hospice, and they aren't even getting help.
Yeah, they're in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are some people going to be in chronic pain the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're not getting, in their case, it's medication. It isn't drugs. It's medication is how I say it. When you are in a lot of pain and there is nothing else that will help you anymore, then that's medication. That's not drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my interpretation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know where this girl is coming from, but she needs to grow up.
Yeah, I know. She, right. They
I mean, I don't care if she's in her 30s. I don't care if she's in her 40s. I mean exactly what I said. She needs to grow up. She needs to get out there with the regular people and start talking to them. She's been spoon-fed with a golden spoon all her life.
Last topic, 15 minutes. Could universal basic income work in America?
Could what?
That is universal basic income. That is, how can I give an example? Okay, like the government will pay each month, each family, $1,000 each. They have a program like that in Finland and parts of Scandinavia. And, you know, Andrew Yang, when he ran for president, that was one of his foundations running for president, promoting that. So do you think it would work in America? Because I spoke to a couple of people, and they say, yeah, it could work. But others saying, oh, it couldn't work because it would not encourage people to get up and work. If you get $1,000 a month from the government, it would encourage laziness, you know.
You're talking about everybody would get $1,000?
Yeah, a month.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, it's called universal basic income. You know,
no, I
so
believe
like
in programs. I believe in programs when you fall on your face. It's called a hand up. And if you have I guess maybe I'm not liberal enough, but no, I do not believe in it.
Mm-hmm,
I think it would cause laziness.
But it's nothing really these times. In these times, $1,000 is not going to get you rich. It's not going to, you know, send you on vacation every month or anything like that. And you still would have to work.
Why should everybody get $1,000? There's no reason for it.
Well, okay. All right. Because in Scandinavia, for example, where they're paying so much high taxes and everything, it does help people there, you know. But in America's case now, when you have inflation, for example, you know, it would alleviate some of the burdens, like, you know, gas prices, you pay a bill here, you pay a bill there, you know. So that's the positive aspect of it.
No.
I've never really heard
my
of
answer
it,
is no.
I'm not opposed.
Scandinavia is not that it does not have the population that the United States has. And again, I will say my personal opinion that people, our people, all of us at one time or another, we need help. The help should be there. And once we start stabilizing, then it's up to us to continue on. There are cases where people can't help themselves, either through sickness or some other tragedy. That's different. That is very different to give them $1,000 a month to survive. But to give it to the whole general populace, no. Why should the man and the woman making $100,000 a year, or the gal that runs Ford's, who's making $20,000 an hour, she would also qualify for that $1,000. Why in the hell should she get it?
It's just an idea I'm putting out there,
you know, because if it works so well for Scandinavia, then, you know, people like the homeless people would get a lot of help if that were the case, you know. I mean, I'm looking at the positive aspects of it, really. One of these days I could do a show about it. But I think that we'll have universal health care before we have that, you know.
Well, health care is one thing because it makes you healthy and it makes you – some people enjoy working. They should work. And other people that are lazy should work. I mean, that's life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can see the positive and I can also see the negative because there are people that, you know, would make a way to $1,000 a month. They, you know, then they would just maybe not work or maybe just work part-time. Or just once in a while when they needed money, or I don't truly know, you know.
Look at the people in the red states who haven't got anything, and they are the biggest welfare. The red states are the biggest welfare people around, and they're living on the minimum, and they are the ones that are lazy and won't go out and better themselves. So we already have an example. It doesn't work. And they're the ones that keep voting Republican, only because their ancestors voted Republican.
And the fall for the fear that Trumpism, you know, the play up on people's fears.
And the haters and the bigots and the racists are voting Republican.
Yeah, there would have to be, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would be, in you know, in a utopia world, you know, where everything is, you know, bubbles and candy and hearts and happy, you know, and in you know, a world of utopia, that would be nice. But we don't live in a world of utopia, unfortunately. And I'm just not sure that something like that would work. I mean,
Well, do we want a giant commune? Remember the communes? I think they were called communes, community living.
Oh,
remember the hippies and their communes? They would isolate themselves, mm-hmm. and they would grow crops, and everybody would share. If there was 10 pieces of corn and 10 families, everybody would get one corn. Everybody
mm-hmm.
dressed the same. Everybody dressed mm-hmm. in flour sacks.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work there. It wouldn't work for the populace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was just a thought of throwing out there, you know.
Yeah. No, it's just a, I mean, it is a thought, and, you know, I
mm-hmm.
I personally have heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
So something to, I mean, always learn something new, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would work for the Amish people good, because the Amish people, they live in a commune, and, you know, they work together, live together, what have you. But for
mm-hmm.
the general populace, as Elaine was saying, it wouldn't
mm-hmm.
work, because, you know, people are just inherently greedy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, you know, I bust my ass daily by it, but this person is sick home doing nothing, you know.
Yeah, I think it would cause a lot of trouble.
Community.
Yeah, it would cause
mm-hmm.
a lot of trouble. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of anger and hate.
I, you know, because we said that this wouldn't work, that doesn't mean that we would want to eliminate other programs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've
mm-hmm.
seen people lose it all because of illness.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen personally, a gal got cancer, and she had a darn good job. She was a master cook
yep.
for one of the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
She wasn't getting rich. But she went to school,
mm-hmm.
and she's had has five kids, and but she got
mm-hmm.
cancer, and she ended
yep.
up having to have a fundraiser in order to pay
mm-hmm.
her bills. She, you
yep.
know, somebody like that needs help,
mm-hmm.
help by the bootstraps. You know,
yep.
until she gets better, until she can go
mm-hmm.
back to work or whatever is going to happen, that's a family
mm-hmm.
that would need the help.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give it out, no.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're the only Western nation that, you know, when you get sick, you can lose your house and everything you
yep.
ever worked for because of illness.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
we should have comprehensive health care reform, because Canada has it, UK has it,
mm-hmm.
all of Europe has it, Mexico has it, us,
mm-hmm.
you know. It shouldn't be about making profit for people
nope.
and corporations. It should be about the
mm-hmm.
general welfare of
yep.
the citizens of the United States, you know? But, you know, what do I know? I'm just an immigrant from a third world country. Okay,
yep.
last thing. Short
mm-hmm.
answers, because we have limited time. Is criticizing
mm-hmm.
Israel anti-Semitic?
It's criticizing Israel anti-Semitic.
Yes.
Noted
question.
You mean if I were to criticize Israel, are you saying, in a conversation?
No, anybody, under any context or pretext.
Oh.
If criticizing Israel is anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm. It's negative, but I don't know if it would be anti-Semitic. It just depends on how you say it. And the words
mm-hmm.
that you choose to use, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the context and everything.
Yes, yeah.
What
of
do you think,
Lynn?
Criticizing, you mean bringing out flaws, bringing out things that their leaders are doing wrong? No,
yeah,
it's not
general,
anti-Semitic.
Any criticism. Any type of criticism.
I said it's not
anti-Semitic.
That's criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing out flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about different people that are running their government. And, you know, we are talking about
mm-hmm.
people that are running our government. That's not anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
to tease and threaten your fellow
yeah.
man because they happen
mm-hmm.
to be
mm-hmm.
Jewish, that's anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Probably showing hatred.
Yeah.
Or wishing ill on somebody that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's from Israel.
Little
that would
children
be
standing at the bus, and this is before the problems in Israel came, little children standing at the bus stop and having the children, the Palestinians and some of the other nationalities, call them crazy rich-ass
mm-hmm.
Jews, that's anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 I agree with
that. All right, that has to be the last word on everything. We want to thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for sharing on social media. Our website is kitchenpolitics123.com. A new article is supposed to be coming out soon. We'll submit it for release and everything. So it'll be up soon on the website. So go to the website and enjoy the other blog articles we wrote. More coming. And we're going to put up more recipes, cooking recipes. So hope you enjoy it and everything. And pretty soon we'll get certain things in order. You'll have the merchandise on sale. It's pro-woman. It's pro-democratic. It's pro-progressive. And, you know, it's pro-environment. Everything that Democrats stand for, you know, we'll have it in T-shirts, coffee mugs, baseball caps, adjustables, bumper stickers. You know, so we really need your help in terms of, you know, getting the merchandise section going when it's up and running, you know, because we want to expand into different markets and, you know, getting a good following here. Not only in the United States and Canada, but around the world, you know, countries in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Central Europe, the African continent, the Australian, Asian continent, you know, different parts of the world listen to us from time to time. We even have international callers from time to time. You know, so we're grateful for that and everything. You know, but as I said, anybody who call in, you know, we may not agree with you, but at least you have a place to come and talk about what your beliefs are. And, you know, this is what America is about, freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and we welcome everybody to take part. We're on every Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. So we hope, you know, you join us those times. And if you miss a show, you can always click onto the show or any show that we've had in the past and listen to it, you know, because it's always there. So with that, I want to thank Elaine for calling in. I want to thank Madeline for calling in, even though she didn't say anything. And I want to thank you for listening. Until tomorrow night, same time, same place on Blog Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Sunday, November 12th, 2023. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you tomorrow. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow evening. Bye now.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.